It may be small. It may be unseen. And it may not make any sound. But it's the force, it's the power behind the whole operations. So my spiritual master, he is referring to Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, is like that. That although he's unseen, he didn't mix, and didn't speak very much, still, he's the force behind my activities. He's behind my life. Without him, my life is useless. So, in reality, without Srila Prabhupada, our lives, at least my life, I know is useless. I've made so many mistakes, and some you can't turn back on them. But we can understand that by the mercy of the spiritual master, by taking shelter of the pure devotee, our lives can become useful. So I just pray that I can be of some use to your divine grace.
Hari Bol, thank you, Prabhu. Mother Pavaka, please.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Saptalesha Padabhaktivaranta Sultanama Namaste Sarasvati. Srila Prabhupada, this morning I would like to offer to you, hot off the press, this 2011 festivals brochure, which all of you audience will be receiving one soon. You have inspired us so much with these wonderful festivals that create an ambience for devotional service. All of our lives have been affected by the fact that you have told us repeatedly in your books that the only way to Krishna is through devotional service. For those of us who live here in the community, we have a daily wonderful program which is listed on the brochure. For those of you who are new to our congregation, you know when you can come to the temple and take darshan. We have our very enlivened Sunday feast schedule. And then inside, we have 18 major festivals this coming year. One of them being the 40th anniversary of the installation of Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish, which is going to be on Janmashtami. So I wish to thank you from the deepest part of my heart to allow us to participate in this wonderful temple and to become Krishna conscious and eventually go back home, back to Godhead.
Thank you, Mother Pavaka, for setting the standard of brevity. Just to remind all the speakers, although it may seem that we have a lot of time, is, you know, because 11:45 is the Abhishek, the Pushpanjali, and then the RTE is at noon. But still, as we know, as time goes on, it gets tighter and tighter, so we have to ask each speaker to please remember that. Prasad Prabhu?
Namaham Vishnupadaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shimitabhartadanta Swamini Janamini Namaste Saraswati Deva Guruvani Pratana Vishesha Shanyavari Pashtitana Shitarani Jai Srila Prabhupada. I first met Srila Prabhupada in 1974 in Henry Street, Brooklyn. I'd been a member of the community for about maybe a year or so. And when you encounter a very remarkable person for the first time, there's an impression that's made that never leaves you. I remember when Prabhupada came to the airport to JFK, we went out to pick him up, a group of us, quite a few of us actually, from Henry Street. And all of us have been in airports, and they're constantly, there's some noise, there's announcements, there's taxi cabs on the curb, there's loudspeakers saying, don't park here, don't go there. When Prabhupada came out of the gate into the terminal, we burst out with a kirtan that probably loosened the bolts on the roof. You did not hear the taxi cabs, didn't hear the announcements, you didn't hear anything but glorification of Prabhupada. It was so, so amazing. Now that's not possible anymore, but at that time, the airports were open and you could do this. And on this day, I'm thinking that the, just as Nikatma said, a little bit of association can go a very long way. The example, of course, is of Ajamil, who had association in his early life, who named his son by great fortune Narayan and called out to him at the end of his life. And this was enough to save him and protect him. Here in New Dwarka, we have had so many senior devotees have passed through here. Parikit has been here, Madhusudana, Murli Vandana, Madhuvisa. The list is very long. And my prayer is that I will have a chance to associate with those who have had contact with Prabhupada. And I suggest that anyone who is wanting to get Prabhupada's association can do like this. We're very fortunate to have a spiritual master whose life has been so completely recorded and saved, so to speak. Not only did Prabhupada do so many remarkable things and open up so many centers and farm communities and write books, but we have a record of it. In previous times, there was not so much record. So we've just been given a very, very great gift, and may we be fortunate to receive it. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Basant Prabhu. Now we'll have Mother Shampriya. And just a reminder, this is not just for the Prabhupada disciples. Everybody's welcome to speak. Of course, we will give scheduling preference to the senior devotees, but everyone should say something of glorification of Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. Dear Srila Prabhupada, thank you so much for giving us this wonderful ISKCON Hare Krishna movement. We have so much opportunity to do so many wonderful things, from ecstatic Harinam festival programs, traveling all over the world. We have temples in practically every country where we can go and do service. And it looks like service is always unlimited. There's always more and more, probably more than we can do most of the time. And it's amazing. And although I didn't have the great fortune to meet you personally, like in your actual form, I feel always that, you know, in one way we meet you all the time and we're forever getting to know you more. And your teachings are... On the surface, the teaching seems very simple once you heard it, but we're always understanding it on deeper levels. And it's being revealed to us in deeper ways. I remember one day I got one of Srila Prabhupada's books in a second-hand bookstore, and I had at that time many books that I was reading, but this book was extremely beautiful, and somehow I kept it always on my altar. I didn't read it straight away, but I kept it on the altar. And after a time, I read it, and I was really amazed by the clarity of the teachings. And my desire after that was just to go to Vrindavan. I was in India in another place already. And I remember going to Vrindavan. It was Kartik. And of course, I didn't know what Kartik was at that time, but there were many devotees. And as I walked into the temple, I saw once I reached a certain angle, I could see that Srila Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasan. And I felt very excited that, wow, I'm going to meet him. And as I walked closer, it kind of started to dawn on me that, you know, why is he sitting alone? And then I noticed the way the light was on his head, like, you know, it wasn't like flesh. And then I realized, oh my God, it dawned on me that, like, all hope seemed to drain out of my body, and I started to realize and lose strength and realize, oh my God, he's not here, he's left. And at that point, I just started to cry. And when I went before him, I couldn't really see him or see the deities or anything. But luckily, despite that, you know, Srila Prabhupada is always with us in his teachings and in his books. And he really wanted us to establish this, you know, Krishna consciousness all over the world, to give other people hope, to give people meaning in their lives, especially in the West, where life is so shallow and you know, all the goals are completely false goals, and to give people some hope and some happiness and some, it's like to make the world back into a beautiful garden instead of an industrial mess. And so we've got a lot of work to do, and with your blessing of all the assembled devotees, hopefully I can do some little thing. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Now I would like to ask Nishinta Prabhu. Sorry.
So sometimes I find it very hard to speak today. This is Prabhupada's disappearance day. It's, in one sense, we don't find that as a very happy day, and I don't remember that day being very happy when it was announced. So I may lose it at some point. Forgive me. So I was just thinking, since Nikama told the New Vrindavan story, that I will also remember being in New Vrindavan for the in 1972. That was the first time I saw Srila Prabhupada, met Srila Prabhupada. In fact, I had been coming to the temple for a while, and of course wasn't really interested that much in surrendering, but just taking prasadam. So the devotees told me, it was just before Janmashtami, said Prabhupada's coming to New Vrindavan in like 3 or 4 days. So, you know, I hadn't joined the temple or anything yet. And they said, so you want to come or what? You really have no choice at that point. So I think it was like a good 17 devotees. How many Hare Krishnas can you fit into the Sankirtan van? So we, like, I don't know, about 17 devotees fit into a, you know, a Ford van or a Dodge van. You know, men, women, and just everybody. And then we got to New Vrindavan. And one of the very ecstatic things is, because that's a moment that's always etched in your mind, the first time you see Srila Prabhupada. And Yadubar has somehow or another captured this on film, that actual scene, because I remember that black Lincoln Continental pulling in and Srila Prabhupada getting out. So you can actually see the DVD of it where Prabhupada's pulling in, speaking under the tree. And so many wonderful remembrances that the devotees have of that festival, the Bhagavad Darshan. And I thought I would just like to speak on one of the things, that the devotees, under very primitive conditions, were baking, the best bakers in the movement, were baking a cake for Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, right? And very primitive. It's not like you have ovens. This is like real. You're in New Vrindavan. And you can even see the pictures of the devotees. It's like, you know, breaking wood and burning stuff and soot going all over the place. And anybody who was in those kitchens knows what it was like, right? So they somehow or another put together the biggest cake anybody had ever seen in history. I don't know if we would have made the Guinness Book of Records, but so they offered it to Srila Prabhupada, right? And Prabhupada took a piece of cake, and then after Prabhupada took the cake, the devotees completely just jumped on that cake. And if anybody's been around devotees, we know they're very enthusiastic when it comes to taking prasadam. Washing the pots and the plate, I mean, not so much. Doing some deity worship. But for taking prasadam, oh, everybody is a very good devotee. Very enthused. So the devotees pretty much leaped on that cake and ate every single piece, every single crumb of the cake is gone. In complete ecstasy. What most people don't know is that Prabhupada then asked, is there any cake left? So the devotees in their enthusiasm had eaten all the cake. And then what happened after that is that the devotees were, those baker devotees were able to then cook all festival long for Srila Prabhupada, the cookies and cakes and stuff like that. And I just thought I'd like to mention that because we always think we're very enthusiastic in devotional service. Yet sometimes we're not thinking, what does Prabhupada want? What is Prabhupada actually asking us for? And that sometimes, that's scary, right? We're very enthusiastic to take prasadam. I know I am. And we're very, and other things that we become attracted to in Krishna consciousness, they're so, right? Like, you know, for me, it is not an austerity to go on Harinam Sankirtan. It's not an austerity at all. I get a kick out of that. Like, we're on the Hollywood Harinam, right? Just last Halloween, Harinam Sankirtan. So you're actually getting, by Srila Prabhupada's arrangement, Lord Chaitanya's arrangement, we're getting like the highest benefit. There are sages that are spending 60,000 years in deep meditation trying to get there. There's big fire jagnas being done in the Treta Yuga. Huge temples in the Dwarka, right, Dwapara Yuga. And in this, Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, just go out and chant and sing and dance and take prasad, right? Prabhupada this morning, we heard that lecture. Prabhupada said, it's so easy. So many austerities were there before, and this one is so easy. Sing, dance, take prasad, but we're reluctant to do it. So somehow or another, I have the great good fortune that at least I like that. That we're having, and you can see, if you walked up and down the length of Santa Monica or Pico Boulevard or Hollywood, and you could see thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people out there. They had dressed up, they had spent a lot of money on their outfits, so much money on parking, walking, fighting traffic, doing so many things. Going to the bars, looking at this, looking at that. And I could see, there's a little bit of happiness maybe some of the people were having. And then the other people were just in anxiety because they weren't getting any happiness. They were looking here and there and there was no real juice. And then other people, they were getting some juice. But then you came upon the Harinam party. These people were having the time of their lives. I put on Halloween parties all over. That was the best Halloween party I've ever been to. And we got eternal benefit from it. Eternal. Lord Chaitanya is actually grateful for what we did. So somehow or another, we have come in contact with a very special movement and a very special spiritual master that even though by nature we don't want to do, right? We're, some of you are saintly, you have a better birth than us, but most of us are Americans, bad birth, all right? That we have no good qualities, right? We're raised from the very beginning. Eat meat, think about sex, take, right? We're just immediately programmed. Watch the TV. Immediately you're programmed for all these things. We have no inclination. Yet Srila Prabhupada came here and you could read. I asked devotees, please read about what Srila Prabhupada did. Watch what he's doing. Nobody else could have done that with such determination, such compassion, that he actually made this whole Krishna just completely attractive to people who had no inclination to render any devotional service. And then, of course, we understand that was a very big trick. Oh, yes, just chant Hare Krishna. Take some prasadam. Go back to Godhead. And then we also know that that is the highest sacrifice. And as Prabhupada was saying today in the lecture, calamities have to be there. We have to understand there will be so many calamities in my own life. So many calamities. Everybody around. So many calamities. So many dangers. And if you watch the news or read the newspapers, it looks worse and worse. It doesn't look like anything's getting better. Getting worse and worse. And the only shelter is this Sankirtan movement. And I know I've kind of gone over, but I got a little enthusiastic about the Harinam. And that somehow or another, we are, just like Prabhupada was talking today, misfortune. We are just misfortune. In this age of Kali Yuga, the people are Manda Sumanda Bhagya, Manda, unfortunate, unlucky, short-lived, bad memory, all these things, everything, above all, always disturbed, right? They spend all this money and you're walking around Hollywood, they're always disturbed. And yet here we have, Srila Prabhupada came and he just gave it freely. He tolerated so many situations. He tolerated so many disciples. We all know what that means. And in his offering to his spiritual master, he said the unflinching mercy of the spiritual master. So that's what we all have the opportunity for. That no matter what, probably unflinchingly we'll keep giving that mercy. And we simply have to, back to the cake analogy, what does Prabhupada want? What is Prabhupada looking for? And he wanted us to be happy. That's really what he wanted. He didn't want anything from us. He wanted us to be happy. And he gave us the formula. Chant, dance, and take prasad. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Mr. Chipabu. Jagajanani Mataji.
So I've been serving Srila Prabhupada in separation from the very beginning because when I joined a year and a half before Srila Prabhupada supposedly left. And I used to daydream. I was out in the airport in Denver, and I used to daydream every day what it was going to be like when Srila Prabhupada came and how the experience would be. I looked forward to it every single day. And then after Prabhupada left, he was so kind to give me the opportunity to have a few dreams of him coming to the airport. And it was just so real, and I was so grateful. And he knew that that's something I needed to experience. So I just wrote something small here. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to the constant service you render to countless spirit souls. Your purity and love is the saving grace in all of our lives. Srila Prabhupada, my heart is exploding with gratitude, and I sincerely pray to become your eternal servant with no independent desire other than to serve and please you. You are the perfect example, showing us personally by how you serve your spiritual master. Thank you for keeping me close and giving me the association of so many dear devotees. Thank you for taking such good care of my mother. I love you, Srila Prabhupada. Praying to be with you always, your servant, Jagajanani Dasi.
Thank you. Wow, thank you, Prabhu. The ladies are also setting the standard for brevity. The men should keep that in mind. Madhubisa Prabhu.
Magina Timirandasya Gananjana Salakayam Shakshushin Militam Yena Tasmayesi Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manabhistam Shrapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapnandikam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In 1965, Srila Prabhupada arrived in America, and along with Srila Prabhupada came the Srila Prabhupada hat. Now, Srila Prabhupada wore this hat, and he never wore a turban. I don't think anybody can produce a picture of Srila Prabhupada wearing a turban. And there is a philosophical reason why Srila Prabhupada never wore a turban, according to my speculation. The reason Srila Prabhupada never wore a turban is because Vivekananda wore a turban. Now, Vivekananda was from Bengal. And Vivekananda had arrived in America at the beginning of the 20th century. I'm not exactly sure. He came to a conference, a religious conference in Chicago. What was it? 1893. That's what I thought, 1893. And he made a great impression upon many people. And it was the beginning of a big hoax. Such an impression, over 100 years later, the President of the United States is making references to Swami Vivekananda in his speeches that he's delivering in India right now. The President's over in India, and he's talking with the Indians about Gandhiji, you know, trying to impress them that he knows about Gandhiji, and drawing the parallels between how Martin Luther King had gone to India, and he read Gandhiji, and he molded his resistance against the inequalities, racial inequalities that he faced in the South upon Gandhi's movement of Ahimsa. So Barack Obama is also making reference in the same speech to Vivekananda. He doesn't even know how to pronounce his name properly, so he kind of gives himself away there. But anyways, he makes a reference to that. 100 years later, this Swami Vivekananda had made this appearance and propagated this hoax. Prabhupada explained that Vivekananda went to America and he spoke some philosophy, impersonal philosophy at this conference in Chicago. And he, along with the philosophy, he said, everybody in India follows this philosophy. And we have a very big organization in India. And at that time, there was no Ramakrishna Mission in India at all. But he propagated this hoax that he told everybody in America that, he had this big mission in India and they could contribute. And then when he went back to India, he told everybody that in America, thousands of people embraced the philosophy, which they didn't. So because the communications in those days were not so crack, there wasn't any internet then or any, Facebook, YouTube, or anything like that. It was just like telegraphs. There was barely telephones. I think there was a telephone in those days. It was telephone, but it wasn't widely spread. So it was a hoax. So Vivekananda, he was a disciple of Ramakrishna also, and Prabhupada explained that he was a crazy Baba, who one of his famous things is that how everyone is God, he stripped naked once and jumped up on the altar. So we can see that the person is not, very couldn't say intelligent, we'd say have to say crazed. But anyways, his disciple, Vivekananda, propagated this mission of, and the Prabhupada explained it in the thumbnail. Vivekananda would say, Brahma Satyam Jagat Mitya. That this Brahman is real, Satyam, and this material world, Jagat Mitya. So this was a thumbnail explanation of what Vivekananda's philosophy amounted to. That everything was false in this material world, and the only thing that was true is Brahma. So like this, Vivekananda was speaking. So Vivekananda wore a big turban, a big ostentatious turban. So my speculation is that when Prabhupada came from India, he donned the Prabhupada hat. I don't even know the proper name for Prabhupada. We have a name for a sheet that we wear around our waist called a dhoti. And we have a wool blanket we wear around our shoulders we call a chudda. But I have never heard the name for this particular type of hat. Does anybody know what the name is? The official Sanskrit name for this hat is? So, I don't think so. So anyways, it's called the Srila Prabhupada hat. And because when Prabhupada arrived in 1965, he was wearing this hat. And from then on, when the devotees experienced his presence, they never saw Prabhupada sit down and put a turban on. And not to say that there's anything wrong with turbans. From the Gaudiya Sampradaya, Bhakti Siddhanta had worn turbans. When we went to India in 1970, we saw all the different members of the Gaudiya Mats. They all wore turbans. But Prabhupada never wore a turban. And my speculation is that he wanted to draw a distinction between himself and Vivekananda. Because he was from Bengal. Vivekananda's from Bengal. He was, a Swami. Vivekananda was a Swami. He was speaking in America. He wanted to make a distinction that I don't wear a turban. I wear a Prabhupada hat. This is part of Prabhupada's flavor. And Prabhupada wore other hats, too. Beside the Prabhupada hat. He not only wore the Prabhupada, but he wore the Prabhupada hat like this. And it just shows that something that looks so ridiculous on me, Prabhupada could wear it with such great distinction and great elegance. Prabhupada could walk into a room with a hat like this on, and people would say, oh, he looks so... I have people in Australia explain, he looks like an aviator, you know, an early aviator flying this plane, you know, to the spiritual world. But anyways, Prabhupada wore different hats. He wore a knit hat, a regular knit hat that you can buy down at the store. But his knit hats were the hats that his female disciples made for him in love and devotion. So he reciprocated like that, and he wore their knit hats. Prabhupada even wore a Russian hat. Sometimes you see Prabhupada in a picture, he has a Russian hat. You know, it's kind of a brocade hat. It's like Afghanistan. I've had it described to me by someone who I was looking for that hat. And they would say, oh, that's an Afghani diplomat's hat. Because the prime minister of Afghanistan wears a hat like that. But anyways, Prabhupada wore that hat too. Dark black one, charcoal black. And he wore the knit hats, you know, sometimes. And sometimes he just put a chada on his head. Wool chada. You see Prabhupada, or sometimes a Hanam Bali, you know, Harinam Chada with the Maha Mantra on it. He had over his head as well. So he wore different forms of headgear, but his Prabhupada hat was his distinction. And you see many times that Prabhupada's wearing the Prabhupada hat in the beginning, and it looks pretty well, it's pretty form-fitted and everything. But as Srila Prabhupada's disciples attempted to make the Srila Prabhupada hat for him, it became boxy, it became too big. I've seen Prabhupada with a Prabhupada hat on so big that he had a knit hat on, then he put a Prabhupada hat over the knit hat, then he had a charter over the Prabhupada hat. So he had three hats on. And because someone had made him a knit hat, and he wanted to reciprocate that, and someone made him a Prabhupada hat, and it was cold in Melbourne in those days. So he had another charter on over that. But still he looked elegant and distinguished in his Prabhupada hat. So Srila Prabhupada wore the Prabhupada hat, and this is a practice that, getting back to why it looked kind of crazy and boxy, is because his disciples, his female disciples, mostly, I don't think any, I can't remember any male disciple who made him a hat, but I can safely say that female disciples made Prabhupada the hat. And it's kind of difficult to ask Prabhupada, can we measure your head? Can we come and measure your head, Prabhupada? And even if they did measure Prabhupada's head, Prabhupada had a very distinct head. Those who have seen videos or walked behind him, Prabhupada had a very distinct head, shaped head. His head was, very round on the top like that, and it kind of went out like a trapezoidish kind of shape. So it was very difficult to get a good fit on Prabhupada's hats. But even though they weren't fit so well, Prabhupada would wear them anyways because he wanted to reciprocate his disciples. One disciple made Prabhupada a shirt once out of silk, a silk shirt, because she thought that Prabhupada would like this Western shirt, so it made him a cowboy shirt. Prabhupada, a silk cowboy shirt. And, it like patch pockets, with flaps down there and like little, things on the shoulders and kind of trench cuffs and everything like that. And buttons down the front, big old, collar like that. And so everybody saw Prabhupada wearing that shirt, and the word went out to all the Matajis that Prabhupada likes cowboy shirts now. So all the Matajis started making cowboy shirts for Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, he doesn't really like cowboy shirts. I mean, he just wants a simple kurta, he doesn't want a cowboy shirt. And, we took it to the nth degree in San Francisco at the Rathiyatra. We wanted to make sure Prabhupada was decked out in the greatest attire. So we wanted to make Prabhupada the shirt with the pearl buttons on it. Saffron, electric, iridescent silk with pearl buttons on it. That was Bhavananda. Anyway, so it had to be pearl buttons too, because we were just struggling from, living hand to mouth, from chapati to, Tali. And we didn't have any money. We collected $100 that day. We spent $100 in the evening, on the Rathiyatra. And Bhavananda said, no, Prabhupada must be dressed, elegantly. He must be dressed like a king. So he went downtown and he bought the special drapery materials. If you see the pictures of that year of Prabhupada dancing in the Rathiyatra, he has a long dhoti all the way down to the floor, this picture. Prabhupada's dancing all the way down, big heavy drape material like that. So it was very, very wide, very long, and very, cumbersome. But Srila Prabhupada wore it, and he had his shirt on with the pearl buttons, and Bhavananda was saying, yes, the pearl buttons, that's what made it. So anyways, what I'm saying here, if you excuse my, the levity of my talk here, and my speculation, the point is that Srila Prabhupada came and he brought a certain flavor with him, a great flavor. And his brand of Krishna consciousness was completely distinctive and completely unique. And is not to say that I'm condemning, turbans, and I'm not saying that everybody should go out and get a Prabhupada hat and wear it, but I feel, it's a nice representative of Srila Prabhupada on this day. We remember Srila Prabhupada and the flavor he gave us, the Krishna consciousness. Later on, later on tonight, if you come, we'll have some talks up in the room, and at the end we'll give out cookies. I'm sure there'll be like these sugar cookies. And this is what Srila Prabhupada used to do from the Vyasasan. All the Matajis would come in those days and they all had their babies and they would go up to the Vyasasan and Prabhupada would give them a cookie. And all the devotees would get a cookie as well. And that was part of Srila Prabhupada's, flavor. The greeting of the deities. If you go all to the different Vaishnava mats, all the mats all over it, you won't find any greeting of the deities. You know, this is a Srila Prabhupada flavor. You won't hear any Govindamari Brusham prayers. That's Prabhupada's flavor. If you look at the deities, even the deities that are installed in the different temples, you know, you won't find them like this. This is Srila Prabhupada's. This is the first temple that Srila Prabhupada installed the deities. You know, installation was here. Well, he had installation this is the first property that Prabhupada installed, our property. In San Francisco, we installed Lord Jagannath. But in our own property, this deity was established first, this Radha Krishna temple. But Prabhupada called it the Rukmini Dwarkadish temple. Oh, what is that? He worships Rukmini Dwarkadish? He's not a Radha Krishna devotee? No, Srila Prabhupada explained to us that he wanted us to worship Rukmini Dwarkadish in awe and reference. He wanted that. We wanted to worship Radha and Krishna through Rukmini and Dwarkadish in awe and reverence. Because we were such early devotees, such amateurs, and we weren't amateurs. Amateur means one who has love for the sport. But we were just neophytes. So he didn't want us to commit the offense of getting too familiar with the deities. So he had us worship Rukmini Dwarkadish, Radha Krishna worship like that. This is Prabhupada's flavor. Prabhupada went to Vrindavan. Did he establish a Radha Krishna temple there? No! Krishna Balaram temple. Although Radha Shyamasundara is there, Krishna Balaram temple. This is Srila Prabhupada's flavor. So those who are seeking after Srila Prabhupada's flavor, they will remain... They will maintain their fidelity to him and to his mission. And on this day, when Srila Prabhupada, we remember Srila Prabhupada's ascension into the spiritual world on this day, this is why we glorify the day. It's not like a regular, you know, memorial service, you know, where people go and remember the dead. No, Prabhupada didn't die, because maybe somebody has said this already before. He reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die when they are still alive and sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living try to spread the holy names around. Srila Prabhupada ki.
We're going to ask Ganesh Prabhu, because he has to go to work. And a reminder, please keep an eye on the clock. A lot of devotees on the list here. Thank you.
Thank you for Archita for cornering me this time. In order to express my gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, I'll begin by explaining, I won't go too long, how Prabhupada's Vani was my first association with Srila Prabhupada in a very profound way. I was a hippie in Los Angeles, drafted in the army, probably destined to go to Vietnam. I went AWOL. And I knew that I had to get away from the U.S. for a while in order to be able to get out of that circumstance. So on my way, I was waiting for the Greyhound bus to take me to Mexico. And I went to a bookstore, because I'd already been very, in tune with the yoga philosophy, this and that, like many of us in the 60s were. I went to a bookstore and I went looking for the Bhagavad Gita because I heard all this about Bhagavad Gita, but I've never read or seen a Bhagavad Gita. So I must have a Bhagavad Gita. I went looking for the Bhagavad Gita and I went in there and I looked, many editions. And I was not satisfied. I walk out. And in the corridor, this is Long Beach, California, in the corridor of Pine Avenue, bookstore, holding right here, Mother Lambangalatik. She's holding Bhagavad Gita as it is. Wow. And I come out and I go, that's it. I've been looking for that book. And she goes, and I immediately fork out $20. And she goes, oh, come with me. She takes me to the Greyhound bus station. Brings out a full-size Krishna book. Oh. Oh. And then she's preaching to me and I'm like, oh, I'm sucking it up. And she looks at me and she goes, you're not one of them. I guess meant the Karmis or whatever. She goes, come with me back to the temple. And I go, I can't do that right now. Then she looks at me a little further and it's like Super Soul's telling her, looks like an army guy. Hey, his head's shaved. So she goes, where are you going? I'm going to Mexico City. Goes, oh, we have a temple there. Very good. So immediately all the way down on my journey there, and that was an incredible journey. I would read the Bhagavad Gita as it is. I come to the temple there and I actually lived there for maybe 5-6 months. And during that time, because I was affiliated with previously with Self-Realization Fellowship, I still had some affection, so I was going back and forth between ISKCON Temple and sometimes I'd escape to go to Science and Self-Realization Fellowship Center. But I also happened to be fortunate enough to get a copy of, if the older devotees remember, we had Lord Chaitanya and Five Features, which was the Adi Lila Chapter 7, which was the most amazing conversation between Prakasananda Saraswati and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it explains the whole philosophy in a nutshell. It's just the most incredible thing. It explains the mission of our movement and everything. Then one day I was at the Science of Self-Realization Fellowship and I was doing my little meditation quiet. And it just sprung at me, I'm wasting time here. I'm never coming back here again. And then as I left, I said goodbye to all the people. Their head guy called Brahmananda. His name was Brahmananda. And he was there. And he was... I started to talk to him. And we just kept... And I just kept talking. I preached to him. He sat there for an hour while I preached all of the Lord Chaitanya's Five Features to him. It was amazing. I was thinking, here's the leader of his movement. And yes, he's sitting there like a disciple. And I'm preaching to him like... Whew. And I was preaching with great clarity. And I could understand, wow, this is how powerful Srila Prabhupada is. Even in his books, everything comes out clear. Clear as the bright sunlight. So anyway, it's time to go back to the U.S. I figure I'm going to get this thing cleared up. 1972, I believe it was 1972, December 31st, 1972, I'm looking for the temple. I run into Ganga Narayan. And I go, where is the temple? And he goes, it's right over there. And Srila Prabhupada is there and all kinds of sannyasis and Vishnu John Swami is leading the kirtan. So I wow. Yeah, I brought a whole caravan of people. I just got there the day before, but I already got a lot of hometown people to come. So we come to the temple. Vishnu John Swami is leading the kirtan. And it sounds like a rocket ship exploding to the spiritual world. It's so, so awesome. I've already been in the temple now for five, six months in Mexico City, but I had an experience. Nidwarka with Vishnu John Swami in the temple filled to the max and Srila Prabhupada in the building. My sister who had never met the devotees before, she came in and her eyes started to pour tears. I looked at her, I go, wow. Another friend of mine, he was dumbfounded. I thought he was drooling, actually. Another friend of mine got so moved. Within a week, he bought deities, books, everything he could. Anyway, the next day, Srila Prabhupada gave the Srimad Bhagavatam lecture. I said, here's my chance to meet Srila Prabhupada. I wonder what it'll be like. I'm meditating, right? Ratha Mangalartik, the Srimad Bhagavatam class was at Ratha Mangalartik. And I'm actually very puffed up. I had actually come from a kind of a yoga background. Because, who knows what it'll be like. I'm thinking maybe he'll show me some appreciation. I don't know. Before he even turned around, he's coming out. I could feel the power of the universe walking with him. Very profound, just this incredible power. And when he finally turned around and looked, I wanted that eye-to-eye contact with him, and he gave me that eye-to-eye contact. What I saw, a person living on a completely different planet, looking down upon us, struggling souls here. And simply by seeing that one time, just seeing him for that first time, I was convinced of everything that Srila Prabhupada stood for and continues to stand for. And I have to stop now. Thank you. Hari, 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 bol.
Thank you, Ganesh Prabhu. Suradas. Sura Prabhu happens to have some interfaith people visiting today, so they picked a very auspicious day to come.
Day, and I just put it on the calendar and didn't realize that it was Prabhupada's appearance day, but that's nice, because this is the executive committee. So they're coming in at 11 o'clock, so I just have to butt in and be quick. Forgive me, Judah Karma Prabhu. Today is such an auspicious day, 33 years since Prabhupada passed away. And we were in, for Prabhupada's appearance day, we unfortunately were not here, but we were at the Burning Man Festival, so I told this story there. I don't think I told this story in a long time here. It was in 1975, and it was the first time I was guarding Prabhupada's quarters in Vrindavan during the Mayapur Festival. I was a senior devotee then, because I'd been in the movement for 2 years. We were all considered to be senior because 2 years in the movement was only 6 or 7 years old, 8 years old. And we were the Naikatma, all these devotees, Prabhupada disciples that were there. Banabhata was more senior. He had been in the movement 3 years. He was like a pure devotee. Madhavis was, my God, he'd been in the movement 5 years. So 2 years, 3 years, we were considered senior men. And they said, "Will you guard Prabhupada's door?" I said, "I never did that before." They said, "Please." I said, yeah, sure. So everyone went to Fogo Ashram to eat lunch. And I was guarding Srila Prabhupada's door. It was noon. On one nice day, I was reading 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and I was very ecstatic. The 7th canto just came out. It was the gold version, gold leaf version. When the books would come out, there would be 20, 30 gold leaf versions of the Bhagavatam. 7.3 had just come out. And I heard a ringing from in Prabhupada's rooms. I had no idea what that was. I had never been in Srila Prabhupada's room, being a senior man of 2 years. I never went in Prabhupada's quarters in Vrindavan yet. So bell was ringing, and I just kept reading and thinking, I'm in ecstasy. This is wonderful. The bell rang again and again, and finally Srila Prabhupada came to the screen door on the porch of his quarters in Vrindavan. And he said to me, "I'm the spiritual master and you're the disciple and I'm ringing like anything. And I must come to you." And I was, Prabhupada, I had no idea, I'm new here. And then Prabhupada said, I am the guru and you are the disciple and there are six of you. I was like, and I must come to you? And Prabhupada, I had no idea. Prabhupada said, he cut me off again and said, I am an old man and you are a young man and I am ringing like anything. And I must come to you? And I felt so terrible. I was thinking, yeah, I'm 22 years old. I had no idea what Prabhupada... I didn't know what was beyond the screen door. I thought the ringing was for someone else. Prabhupada said, go get Pustakrishna. So I knew Pustakrishna had gone to the Fogel Ashram to eat prasadam. Fogel Ashram was a mile away. And I didn't want to leave Prabhupada's door unattended. What if someone came in, something happened, I was responsible. So some devotee passed by that came by from the ashram. I said, Prabhu, you got to go get Pustakrishna Maharaj. He's at Fogel Ashram. He said, no entiendo, Prabhu. He couldn't speak English. So I realized I'm in trouble. And then all of a sudden, I'm sitting there still trying to figure out how do I get Pustakrishna. The bell rang. So I ran in. Prabhupada was there. And, sorry.
Please turn off all cell phones.
They'll hear the class. I didn't know whether to offer obeisances or answer Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, where's Pustakrishna? And I figured I better answer first and then offer obeisances. And I said, Srila Prabhupada, I was a senior man. I didn't know what the etiquette was. 2 years in the movement, we were on the road doing Sankirtan. We weren't trained in these finer habits. So I said, Srila Prabhupada, he's at Fogel Ashram. He said, go in the back and get Hari Sari. Apparently he was in the back. So I went through the door on the right, which happened to be Bhakti Trumarj's quarters. The door on the left led to the back, and Prabhupada said, no, the other door. And I was thinking, one should feel like a fool, but shouldn't act like a fool in front of the spiritual master. So I got Hari Sari. I said, Prabhupada needs you. There's something going on. He was asking for... to me, it was a grave emergency. He said, just go back out in front, guard the door, keep reading, and I'll tell you what to do next. So I had the seventh canto Bhagavatam. I'm looking at it. But because my mind was so flipped out, I could no longer read the words. My eyes were wide open, and I was just staring, thinking, I've offended Prabhupada. I've made a big mistake. And then... Pustakrishna came, and I said, Prabhupada was looking for you. He said, yeah, I went. He said, you have to understand one thing. He said, years ago, Prabhupada had asked me to do something for him. And then Jagadish Prabhu, who was the GBC, asked me to do something else, so I did what Jagadish said. Then Prabhupada said, did you do what I said? And he said, no, I couldn't, Prabhupada, because I had to do what Jagadish said. Prabhupada said, who is Jagadish? He said, oh, he's the GBC, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said to Pustakrishna, ABC, GBC, you are a fool. He said, so don't feel bad, just do something wonderful for Prabhupada. Prabhupada's going to see Bhagaji. It's lunchtime. Hold this fan, this umbrella. Beautiful umbrella up while Prabhupada comes. You do a nice service, all is forgiven. So I was feeling so good. I held the fan. Prabhupada's going to come in 5 or 10 minutes. I'm waiting there on the porch. And devotees started coming back from Fogel Ashram. Guru Kripa came back and said, what are you doing up there, little round man? I only weighed in those days 130 pounds, but I guess he knew the future, called me little round man. And I said, Prabhupada's coming out, he's going to Bhagaji's, I'm holding the umbrella for him, big umbrella. He said, no, you're not. Give me that umbrella. And Guru Kripa Maharaj, who was one of the, as they said in those days, mean swamis, I was just brahmachari, took the umbrella, and I went down a few steps, and I was like extremely dejected and depressed. Prabhupada came within a few minutes. Kirtan was going on. Prabhupada came. I offered obeisances. And by Krishna's arrangement, Prabhupada's arrangement, as Prabhupada was going down the stairs, I don't think they have those stairs anymore to the gate. I think they changed it, but there used to be a few stairs, long stairs. I was getting up from my obeisances and I was crying. And Prabhupada, and I was thinking, I've offended Prabhupada. This is my big opportunity, first opportunity to serve Prabhupada personally. I made such a big blunder and appeared to be such a fool. And I was coming up, Prabhupada turned his head and went, Jai. And as soon as he said Jai, it was a big wave, like all was forgiven, all was relieved, and I was back to wonderful consciousness. Prabhupada went to Bhagaji's house and took prasadam, and to me it was a great opportunity. One more quick. Once upon a time, we were on the next year, I believe, 76, a morning walk with Prabhupada. Some brahmacharis used to sneak from Tripurari Maharaj's party. We used to sneak on the walk because the walk was just sannyasis and JBC men. And this was a very heavy walk where Prabhupada was talking a lot of transcendental subject matter about how they used to worship Hitler to get what they wanted. And they name everything after animals in this society, animal society. One devotee said, Pinto. Prabhupada said another animal name that they named their cars after. Prabhupada said greyhound. And then Pugosh said, Brahmachari said, but we use the greyhound to preach, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, that is the perfection. So during this walk, at the end of the walk, we all had to get back. Prabhupada was holding one, bouquet, purple bouquet of flowers. And we all ran on top with Ramapad, Brahmachari at the time, myself, Pragosh, about seven devotees on a rickshaw. Prabhupada went in the car with the sannyasis. And we brahmacharis went in a rickshaw, got back 10 minutes later, 15, seven brahmacharis on a rickshaw. The poor rickshaw driver was completely overwhelmed. But when we got back, it was so late, Prabhupada had already finished Jai Radha Madhava, that all the devotees were up in the front, the Madhijis were in the back of the temple in Vrindavan, and we, six, seven brahmacharis, had to sit way, way in the back. But as we were sitting there, all of a sudden, a bouquet came to me, and Pragosh was sitting next to me. We realized it was the bouquet that Prabhupada had been holding the entire time. And Pragosh looked at me. I think I got the bouquet first. It had just filtered through the whole crowd and we got it. Nobody realized, I guess it was. And I thought, let's put this bouquet in a nice, frame and keep it Prabhupada's prasadam forever. And Pragosh grabbed it out of my hand. He cut the bouquet in half with his hands. He gave me, and without thinking, he started chomping on this and ate the bouquet of flowers. I was hesitant. I thought, still, I could put this in a frame. It's only half a bouquet. But it's purple. It would look wonderful in a frame. And I tell everybody, this is Prabhupada Tadiya. But Pragosh was pushing, and I ate the other half of the bouquet. Went down very slowly, was a big bouquet, like eating a whole flower of broccoli. So we ate that and we felt that we were blessed with Srila Prabhupada's tadiya, because the cells in the body only change every 8 years. So for the next 8 years, we had Prabhupada's mercy within our bodies. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Nobody's responding to my tapping my watch, so from now on I'm going to say time. Okay, Jutta Karma. Well, we have to do the push-punjali at 11:45. So that gives us 45 minutes for all the remaining speakers, which is a good-sized list here. So instead of 10 minutes, we're cutting it down to 7 right now.
When Jagajanani Dasi spoke, she said she was always serving Srila Prabhupada in separation. So that was my position also. You know, I never had a chance like Sura Prabhu to, you know, personally interact with Srila Prabhupada. But I did get a chance to see him and hear him occasionally, and I was, you know, very eager to do that, maybe overly eager. In 1974, I was a Bhakta Mike in the Washington, D.C. temple when Damodar Prabhu was temple president there. And he was a real senior devotee. I think he'd been a devotee for 7 years. And at that time, there was the prasadam body theory. You know, like Asura was saying, there was this idea that every 7 years, the cells completely regenerate, so that if you were eating prasadam for 7 years, then you had a prasadam body, and you were like a pure devotee or something. There was that theory going on. But in any case, I was a new devotee in the temple, and I heard that Srila Prabhupada was going to New Vrindavan, which is about 300 or 400 miles away from the Washington, D.C. temple. So I asked the temple president, Damodar, if I could go and see Srila Prabhupada, because I wanted to go see him. And he said, no. Because, you know, if all the devotees and the various temples went to see Srila Prabhupada, how would things go on? He said, eventually, he said, someday Srila Prabhupada will come to this temple, and then you can see him. So, perhaps I should have accepted that, but I didn't. There was a householder devotee who would come by the temple, and I told him I wanted to go, and he said, oh, okay, I'll take you. He had some rivalry going on with the temple president. So I went to the Brahmachari ashram, and I got my little cardboard box of possessions, and I was walking out of the temple, and the temple president, Damodar, saw me, said, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to see Srila Prabhupada. And he could see I was pretty determined, so he said, okay, you can go, but you can't take the dhotis and kurtas. Those belong to the temple. So I went back upstairs, and I took off the dhotis and kurtas and left them there and put on some blue jeans and a T-shirt and came downstairs again with my little cardboard box. And in front of the temple, the householder devotee was there in his car. So I got in, and we began to drive to New Vrindavan. and we got there a couple of days before Srila Prabhupada was to arrive, so I spent those couple of days in what they called the Brahmachari Farm. It's a very isolated place, very austere place. And after a couple of days, Srila Prabhupada was arriving. He was at the airport in Pittsburgh, and he was going to be driven to New Vrindavan. So the devotees were waiting for him by the main farm building, chanting Hare Krishna in a kirtan party, waiting for him to arrive. So I walked down from the Brahmachari farm to the main farm, and as I was going, you know, a devotee stopped me and asked me and said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Well, I'm going to see Srila Prabhupada." And he looked at me from head to toe and he said, "But you don't have any dhoti or kurta." And I said, "Well, I don't have any dhoti or kurta." And this was a devotee from New Vrindavan. And he said, "Come with me and I'll give you one of mine." And I was really impressed by that spirit among the devotees at that time, because especially in New Vrindavan, they didn't have many dhotis and kurtas. It's not like today where devotees are regularly going back and forth to India bringing, you know, huge loads of dhotis and kurtas and saris. In those days, those devotees, especially there in New Vrindavan, which is a very isolated place, they didn't have very many of these things. But this devotee, you know, he didn't know me, so he gave me a dhoti and kurta and some tilak to put on. So I went down and joined the kirtan party, and we were chanting for a long time, and then finally Srila Prabhupada arrived in his car with a couple of his sannyasi disciples, and the door of the car opened and he got out, and that was the first time, you know, I saw him. And it was a very, as many devotees have experienced, you know, the first time they saw Srila Prabhupada was an overwhelming kind of experience, and I was just totally overwhelmed with emotion. I began crying, you know, just uncontrollably. I'm not a type of person who cries a lot, but I did on that occasion. And as I was crying, I was sort of reflecting, well, why am I, you know, crying like this? And I had some theories, some speculation that maybe in some past life I'd been associated with this person, Srila Prabhupada, and I disappointed him somehow and had to come back. But still he was giving me another chance to associate. I don't know if that's true or not, but I just had some feeling like that. And then Srila Prabhupada eventually went into the temple room and gave a lecture. And in it, he mentioned that the devotee who is washing the temple floor is just as important as the devotee who's on the altar, you know, offering arti. I saw you, and I'll finish as quickly as I can. And at that time, these Brahmin devotees, being just a new bhakta in the temple, these Brahmin devotees were just a big mystery to me. I had no idea what they were up to. They would go behind the doors onto the altar, ring their bells, do all kinds of mysterious things. They were like gods to me. Still are, in a sense. But and my service that time in the Washington, D.C. temple was to come before Mangalartik and wash the temple floor. So I was, I was happy to hear that that was a service that Srila Prabhupada appreciated. And then I stayed for a few days, heard Srila Prabhupada, and then eventually the festival was over, Srila Prabhupada was gone, and now what was I going to do? I'm stuck in New Vrindavan. So the devotee who brought me said, "Well, I'll take you back to D.C. So I got in the car and we drove back to D.C. and he stopped in front of the temple and I got out. And waiting at the top of the stairs was the temple president, Damodar. And I walked up and he looked at me and he said, "So you think you're coming back here?" And I said, "Well, if possible." So he very gruffly said to me, "Well, did you see Srila Prabhupada?" I said, "Well, yes." And then he kind of smiled and said, "Well, what did he say? Come with me." He brought me to his office, gave me some Mahaprasad, and made me say everything I remembered. So I've always been serving Srila Prabhupada in separation, trying somehow or other to get a glimpse of his lotus feet. Still trying, and I'm hoping that by following his instructions, his vani, I'll get another chance in some other life to again glimpse his lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you. Bhagavan Prabhu.
I've got 7 minutes. Can you give me a signal at 2 minutes left? Because I want to leave 2 minutes for certain meditations. So I got to talk fast. I got to travel with Prabhupada in many places, not because he asked for it, because I was what they refer to as a nectar buzzard. So my excuse was taking pictures of Prabhupada, but I really felt like I was documenting his life. Through photographs, of course, he always felt that the best documentation of his life was through his books. So for people who didn't get a lot of personal association with Prabhupada, there's one story. We were on a walk in Paris, and somebody had written in and said, "Well, Prabhupada just came through Yogaswara, that he felt he needed more personal association. All the advanced devotees had more personal association." Prabhupada's retort to that was, "Who is that rascal? He's not chanting his 16 rounds." He didn't say it in an arrogant way, but he said it that way. He said, and then he said, "All in all, I had maybe 15 days personal association with my Guru Maharaj." So Prabhupada always put more emphasis on his books, that he had embodied himself in his books. And if you read the books, you'll feel that pure love. That's not considering whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're Indian or whether you're American, that you're the beloved of Krishna. Krishna misses you and wants you back home. And that pure expression is found in Prabhupada's books. So Prabhupada may not be an initiating guru at this point, but he's the Shiksha guru and he's the primary guru. And if you don't think so, you're kind of an idiot, to be perfectly honest. So the great acharyas, they live through their teachings. And just like if you read Bhakti Vinod's books, you'll feel that connection. If you read Krishnadas Kaviraj's writings, you'll feel that connection too. And the Shiksha Guru is quite often the predominant guru. Prabhupada said about initiation, it just means beginning. So certain things I asked Prabhupada for the future. I said, "Prabhupada, sometimes the guru isn't around and you have a question that's maybe too detailed for the scriptures, and so what do you do?" And Prabhupada said, "If you chant Hare Krishna very nicely, all the answers will come from within." According to the Ramayana, Lord Rama said that the ultimate discriminator in the affairs of Dharma must be one's own conscience. People can use anything to make their point, and it could be all about selfishness instead of love for Krishna. We're in Paris, and Fontenay aux Roses is a little, tiny little house that we had in the country. And Prabhupada just sat the leaders down. He made me put my camera down when I was taking photographs. And he said, if If he said, if you don't practice, then he said, then all you have is the trouble you went through to get the knowledge. He didn't look as the leaders as spiritually advanced. They were all his students. They were managers. And another one came to squeal on another manager. Prabhupada got upset. He said, I give them a little power and they go, do this, do this, do this. He said, no. He said, first you get them to love you and then they'll do whatever you want. So, but this is not a ploy. This was a reality. Trying to think of some of the other things that Prabhupada said and that were very, very meaningful. Once I said to Prabhupada, I said, Prabhupada, sometimes I fight with my God brothers. Is that bad? He said, no, not necessarily. So he understood the nature of a society. And it was very frustrating for him because he was dealing mostly with young people. And it was frustrating for the young people because we didn't have any elders to guide us. But Prabhupada's love is there for anybody who wants to approach Prabhupada through his books. He can be very gracious. We were in Paris and the head of the French National Buddhist Society came, but it was for him it was just a diplomatic mission. We thought it would be a great exchange of philosophy, Buddhism versus Vaishnavism. And the guy was just like... But there was a nice lady there who had no political position, and she started asking questions, and Prabhupada gave her his full attention because she was sincere, and Prabhupada wasn't looking at the political position of this woman. And he gave her a full attention. And he could be very gracious. Last time I saw him, Prabhupada got up from his sick bed and he was speaking to Tarankanti Ghosh, who was like the vice governor of West Bengal. His grandfather had been a very great devotee. He was the one who gave Bhakti Vinod the title, the seventh Goswami. Anyway, so Prabhupada knew this man could help the movement in Bengal. So he spoke to him. And then at the end, even though Prabhupada was sick and Tarankanti Ghosh left, there were two ladies sitting there, and they just came to get the darshan of a holy man. And he very kindly spoke to them and asked them how they were. And that was very impressive to me. Prabhupada was not seeing the externals. I got 2 minutes now. So one of Prabhupada's God brothers said that we can meditate on Prabhupada in our hearts. So if I can get 1 minute, if you can time it for 1 minute, that we can close our eyes and meditate on Prabhupada seated in our hearts. And for the second minute, Bhaktivinod said that every day you should feel that you look in your own heart and feel that your love for God is growing. And if it's not, see what do a self-examination, figure out what neglect you've done to the extent that you feel your love for God growing. So if I could have 1 minute for meditation on Prabhupada in each of our hearts as our primary guru, and the second minute is we can do that meditation, I think that would be a nice offering to Prabhupada. So can you time up, Prabhu? Okay.
2 minutes.
Thank you. One more thing was Vivekananda won everybody's hearts at that 93 convention because it was very contentious. Catholic Church, general Catholic Church, wouldn't even represent themselves. It's only the American Catholic Church that did it. So Lord Chaitanya warned against party feeling and sectarian. He won everybody's heart by standing up and saying, brothers and sisters. And that won everyone's heart. He got standing applause for that one. So thank you, brothers and sisters.
Thank you, Bhagavad Prabhu. Vanabhata Prabhu.
Gyanatmanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, but my spiritual master, by his causeless mercy, Srila Prabhupada, has forced my eyes open with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I offer my most humble obeisance unto his lotus feet. How could I ever forget his mercy upon me? It's so nice hearing all these remembrances of Srila Prabhupada. It's so much, and I was reflecting on why it's so nice, and I was thinking how, because the spiritual master is the only way we can reach Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so it's so significant when a spiritual master of the level of Srila Prabhupada is here with us. And so everything that Srila Prabhupada, a pure devotee like that, does or says has so much meaning in it. I mean, if we just meditate on how Srila Prabhupada has, when he was here, he had complete association with Krishna all the time. And it's inconceivable how we could actually be in the presence of someone like that. It's literally being in the presence of Krishna. So it's so significant, any little thing the spiritual master does. Another thing came to mind was how, you know, especially when Srila Prabhupada was personally present, we all felt so fortunate just to be able to, you know, go on a morning walk with Prabhupada, because most devotees back then, especially as the movement grew, we didn't have the opportunity to get Srila Prabhupada's association unless we were some, you know, big leader in the movement. But a testament of our philosophy is such that everyone felt totally satisfied in their own service. And I specifically, in my mind, it's a very, very significant thing that, you know, we didn't always feel like we had to be always there in Srila Prabhupada's physical presence, although it is recommended according to Shastra, when the spiritual master is physically present, that one should, as much as possible, get his association. But because we were following strictly the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, and we were serving the servants of Srila Prabhupada, so we felt so satisfied in that. And so in the same way, those devotees who didn't get a chance to take initiation directly from Srila Prabhupada, but are serving the servants, or the servants of the servants of Srila Prabhupada, the taste is so great in that, because that's really the essence of our philosophy. And even after being so many, you know, a few years in the movement, still that philosophical point is so, so important, and is the most important thing to protect our consciousness from becoming puffed up, because we are worshiping the original supreme personality of Godhead, who's full of unlimited, unparalleled potencies. And so the tendency for a tiny little jiva soul, a marginal energy, to become puffed up is really, really great. So it's so nice hearing the different pastimes of the devotees. I'm just going to tell one real quick one. I remember when Srila Prabhupada came to San Francisco, and I was a new devotee there, and I think it was 1973, there was Rath Yatra in San Francisco, and Srila Prabhupada was personally present there at that Rath Yatra. There's that famous picture of Guru Kripa is there, Sudama is there, chanting and playing drum, and Srila Prabhupada is dancing. Came off the Rath Yatra cart and is dancing in front of all the devotees. So that Rath Yatra was so special. And Prabhupada was there, and I was out distributing books. But the presence of Prabhupada was so powerful at that Rath Yatra that I remember when I was distributing books, I actually had a realization that I wasn't the doer. And like it said, that a wonderful prayer, it talks about how in the spiritual world, every word is a song, every gait is a dance, like that. So when I was approaching people, I was taking the book out and I was handing it to people, I actually had the realization that I wasn't like actually like distributing books. It was a dance. And as I would take the book out of my bag and hand someone the book, I would start to ask them for a donation. They would already have their hand in their pocket and they'd be pulling out their money. And with my other hand, I would take the money and put it in my pocket and then pull another book out. And it was like a continuous dance. And I could swear at that time that I could actually see waves of ecstasy in the air. It was so blissful at that time. And so Srila Prabhupada is such an incredible personality that every little thing he does has so much significance. And it's because we can have association with the spiritual master through his vani as well as his vapu, through his instructions. And because he's absolute like Krishna, just hearing about him, he becomes present. It's so, so relishable to hear all these pastimes about Srila Prabhupada. And for me, it makes Prabhupada become so much present again, like he's physically present. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Prasharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarane. Srila Prabhupada saw it as his mission to eradicate from the modern world the cancerous impersonalism and voidism that now dominates people's mindset, the modern mindset. And our acharyas advise us to meditate 3 times a day, at least, on the ecstasy that the spiritual master feels. And for us, that means the ecstasy that Srila Prabhupada feels in fulfilling this purpose, this mission, the preaching mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I didn't have so much personal association with Srila Prabhupada. I joined in around 1976 and only saw him during his last visit here to New Dwarka on a few occasions. And at any rate, I was too young then to really know what was going on anyway. But in the years that have passed since, it has grown more and more appreciation in my heart and in my consciousness. for just what Srila Prabhupada did, and I have been fortunate enough to have the association of senior devotees who were personally trained by Srila Prabhupada, several of them. And what I've learned from them is that there was one priceless jewel that Srila Prabhupada had that made him the wealthiest person in the world. And that jewel was his strong faith in his own spiritual master. Because it was that faith, really, that allowed Srila Prabhupada to do everything that he did. We pray to our spiritual master as the friend of the poor, Dinabandhu. And we pray that he's the ocean of mercy. And we glorify Srila Prabhupada for having left Vrindavan just to come and save us, even though he was very peacefully living in that holiest of places. He took on tremendous austerities that we really can't even imagine, even though we read about them, without having experienced them ourselves, which we haven't. So if we try to appreciate Srila Prabhupada's tremendous faith in the order of his spiritual master, which he cultivated and nurtured and kept very carefully within his heart for at least 30 years, three decades, after Srila Prabhupada was given the instruction to preach to the English-speaking world, Srila Prabhupada actually fulfilled that mission. At the time he received that instruction, he was a householder, he was busy with family obligations, he was working as a pharmacist. There was no obvious indication, even to his close friends, such as his godbrother, Obiel Kapoor, for example, there was no indication that Srila Prabhupada would actually be able to do this, what he has done. And even Srila Prabhupada, had he been someone else, might not have recognized that it was at all possible. And so I'm thinking that one thing we can take from this example that Srila Prabhupada left for us, if we're thoughtful, or if we're instructed well, is that there are many ways in which the orders that Srila Prabhupada has given to us seem to be impossible. And as we know, right here in this community, Srila Prabhupada said impossible is the word in a fool's dictionary. So he does expect us to fulfill the instructions that he's left for us. There are many of them. We know what they are, those of us who read Srila Prabhupada's books or have studied his life in any detail. So we can appreciate the depth of Srila Prabhupada's faith, that somehow or other he was able to work against all the odds. And I think that Krishna made the arrangement that he made when Srila Prabhupada came to the West, that he had every conceivable odds working against him. And yet still he succeeded because he depended entirely on Krishna having taken shelter of his lotus feet. That makes Srila Prabhupada the most dear representative of Lord Krishna and the representative of the lotus feet of all the Prabhus in our line, all the way up to Lord Vishnu himself. So I'll stop there now. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Prabhu. Sat Chit Roy, Prabhu.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vatale Shimate Guru Govinda Swami Tiramine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vatale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tiramine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Guravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyabari Paschatyadi Satharine. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for allowing me to be in your temple. In the scriptures, it is said, Yudhishthira Maharaj told his uncle Vidur, he said, Uncle Vidur is a pure devotee of the Lord. He said, Babad Vida Bhagavatos, Tirta, Tirta Swayam Vam Divo, Tirti Kurvanti Tirtani, Santastena Gadavrita. He said, My dear Lord, you are a holy place personified. Wherever you go, you carry the Lord within your heart. Wherever you go, when the pure devotees, wherever they go, they turn the places into a tirtha. So Srila Prabhupada had that shakti, Kali Kali Namarupa Krishna Vatara Krishna Shakti Vinanaha Tare Pravartan. Srila Prabhupada is like a touchstone. He had a Krishna Shakti. Wherever he went, he touched those places into beautiful places. So when he was in Australia, he said, I'm not in Australia, meaning in his temples, I'm in Vaikuntha. When he was in New York, he said, I'm not in New York, in my temple, I am in Vaikuntha. And similar in Los Angeles, this place is Vaikuntha. Which constitutes Vaikuntha? Is in Vaikuntha, what do they do and what do we do here? There's not much difference. They glorify the Lord. Here in this Archa Vigraha, in the Vaikuntha or in Goloka, the Lord personally is there. The devotees are there. The holy name is there. The glorification through the Bhagavatam here. And in that way, we are so fortunate. I'm just praying to Srila Prabhupada that somehow or other I don't commit offenses to his devotees, because then there's no hope and chance for me. I would just relate that I am a grand disciple of Srila Prabhupada. I'm trying to be a disciple. I came like a year and a half after Prabhupada left. And for me, in the beginning, was like a devastated. I was so disappointed because I thought I didn't get the personal contact with Srila Prabhupada. But later, reading on the scriptures, I found out the famous quote, Varta Pada Kamalayor, Dasa, 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 Nudas, the servant of the servant of the servant. One who is the servant of the servant of the servant is a devotee. In another verse later on, that was, Aham Bhakta Paradino, Hyaswa Tanta, Ivaduya, Sadhu Vir Grasta Hridayo, Bhaktar, Bhaktar, Jana Priyo, Bhakta, Bhaktar, Jana Priyo, that he's very dear to the devotees of his devotees. So when I found that code, I thought, oh, beautiful, there's some hope for me. I feel relief that if you become the devotee of his devotee, like Krishna says, then there's some hope. So thank you for sending one of your Sankirtan devotees. I was met at the airport by one of your Sankirtan ambassadors. And if it wasn't for that merciful devotee who was carrying on your mission, I wouldn't be here. And I hope that you also give me that opportunity and that chance to carry on distributing your books. We're going in Harinam three times a week. I'm also trying to distribute your books, and I hope that you are pleased with me in spite of all the imperfections that I might have. Thank you very much.
Very well, thank you. And then we have time just for one more speaker. We're asking Anurupa Dasi. Hare Krishna.
Nama Om Vishvadaya Krishpastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Atanamane. Namaste Saraswati Devi. All glories to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Founder Acharya, for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I want to thank Srila Prabhupada for accepting me as his disciple in 1975, and my service to Srila Prabhupada was always book distribution. Book distribution always gave Srila Prabhupada, he felt like a very young man when he heard the book scores. And it always gave me inspiration to keep on distributing books till this very day. And the importance of book distribution is to have all the conditioned souls to receive the transcendental knowledge that Srila Prabhupada worked very hard in decoding and translating volumes and volumes and books. And now there are in so many different languages all over the world. So it's we have a debt to repay our spiritual master, and I pray that Srila Prabhupada will empower me to keep on distributing his books for the benefit of human society. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. That was too short. Hare Krishna. All right, so I'll just do a little wrap-up. Remind everybody that tonight there is an evening program where we will have another video of Prabhupada's departure and then more discussions upstairs in his quarters led by Shyama Sundar Prabhu.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachideshtarini. So as we heard from so many remembrances today, how important is this book distribution? Because so many devotees came because of Srila Prabhupada's books. In my own case, many of you have heard the story, but I just finished my third year of college in New York City. I'm walking down J Street, and there is a Hare Krishna devotee, bright saffron robes, at a book table. And I go up, and I was initially more attracted by the incense, but I saw the books, and so I bought one little book. Many of you have heard me say this, Krishna, the Reservoir of Pleasure. And that little pamphlet, it's not even a book, it's so potent. Krishna, as sound as transcendental, Krishna means the highest pleasure. Every one of us is searching for pleasure, but we don't know how to find pleasure. This is how Prabhupada started, and immediately just that first sentence just grabbed me. And every service, as it was also pointed out in Jyota Karma Prabhu's story, the person who is sweeping the floor is as important as the pujari. Prabhupada said right here from the Vyasa-san that the gardener who is growing the rose is just as important to Krishna as the pujari who is offering the rose. So on the absolute platform, there is no distinction between service. It's the heart that counts. But still, relatively speaking, Prabhupada stressed this book distribution. He said, we can do it without temples. We could sleep under trees, but we must go on chanting and distributing these literatures. So relatively speaking, this distribution of literature. So obviously to distribute books, we have to produce them. So I've dedicated my life to producing Srila Prabhupada's books, and the distribution has to go on, because it's just amazing how many devotees have been brought by those books and how many devotees still keep coming to the movement because of Srila Prabhupada's books. And one book has unlimited impact. We heard recently somebody was recounting Shastakrit during his last class. Shastakrit was recounting about the early days in Russia. So I met quite a few of those devotees. I've been in Armenia, I've been in Russia, and I met some of those original devotees. Very, 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 very difficult times that they went through. As Prabhupada was saying this morning, his lecture on Kunti's prayers, Vipadakshanta Takchaswa, that Tatra Tatra Jagadguru, that let the calamities come, Kunti's praying, and we don't even have to pray for them. The calamities come of their own accord. We don't need to pray for them, they come. So these devotees went through so many difficulties in the early days in Russia, but they maintained their faith because of Srila Prabhupada's books, which were, first of all, being hand-produced. One book would be handwritten, hand-copied, and distributed, and read till it faded, and then they got one mimeograph machine, and they were like, if you remember some of the older devotees, how that worked, you had a stencil, you put it on there, and then each sheet you had to hand crank. So in this way, they were crudely producing Prabhupada's books. And so in 95, I was in Armenia, after the breakup of the Soviet Union. And of all the former states of the Soviet Union, Armenia remained quite poor. The infrastructure had crumbled practically to nothing. And I always wondered why. And then later on I heard the story of how, and it's also recounted in this book, Salted Bread, how Harikesh Prabhu and other devotees, by their great effort, they sent one train car full of Prabhupada's books to Armenia. Just humongous, you know, boxcar full of books to be distributed. And somehow the demoniac government, they got a hold of it. And because they were so poor, and also out of spite to the devotees, because one of the original devotees, his father, was the head of the KGB section in Armenia. So they were so vicious, so mean, they took that boxcar of books and they burned it for fuel.
so it dawned on me that this was their karmic reaction for such a heavy sin. To this day, other republics of the former Soviet Union, they're, you know, they're pretty well to do because there's oil and natural gas and stuff, but Armenia to this day remains one of the poorest states. Because that was very, very heavy thing to do, to take all those books that can deliver so many conditioned souls and to burn them. Anyway, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, in spite of all obstacles around the world, his books are going out. We have Vijay Prabhu, who is our Minister of Book Distribution. He can tell many stories, but he lost his voice. He's not speaking today. But by Prabhupada's mercy, this book distribution goes on, and all the other facets of his movement. And, you know, in spite of our mistakes, we should know that there are no organizations that don't have any mistakes. Is there any government anywhere, any spiritual organization anywhere that doesn't have people making mistakes? Because this is a material world, and conditioned souls make mistakes. So we shouldn't think that if we leave Prabhupada's organization, we're going to find some other organization that has all wonderful people who don't make mistakes. It's not possible. So Prabhupada said, sit tight. You know, the boat is going to rock, just like any boat, but don't jump off. Don't jump off. And don't push anybody off. Sit tight. Glorify Srila Prabhupada. Chant Hare Krishna. Take prasadam at 1 o'clock and be happy. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So now we're going to have the Pushpanjali. As soon as the offering is over, we're going to have the Pushpanjali. Flowers can be brought in. Everybody can take flowers and be ready. After that is the simultaneous Aarti and Kirtan and then the prasadam feast. Hare Krishna.
Please take enough to do three times. Ask all the devotees after the prasadam is moved if you could move up very close. The ladies on the left. Everyone, please move up, move up. We only have about 10 minutes here. Okay, if everyone could please repeat. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sa Padantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabharutam Parijana Sahitam